This is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, May 28, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. A West Michigan nonprofit is using millions in settlement money to help Michigan lead the nation in reducing overdose deaths. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more on the Grand Rapids RED Project.
Michigan Department of Health and Human Services Director Elizabeth Hertel toured Grand Rapids RED Project to spotlight how local agencies are leveraging national opioid settlement money. Hertel noted the Grand Rapids RED Project is an example of how innovative harm reduction programs can reduce overdose deaths, improve health, and connect individuals with treatment and recovery services when they're ready. The state directed $4.2 million to the nonprofit in 2024 and 2025, and contracts with the group to train staff in new programs across the state. RED Project Executive Director Steve Alsom says the funding supports Narcan distribution, clean syringe access, drug checking, and mobile health units. Backed by local efforts like the RED Project, the state's overdose death rates are declining for the fourth year, dropping from over 3,000 annual deaths to fewer than 1,800, making Michigan one of the best performing states in the nation for reducing overdose fatalities. Michigan is set to receive $1.8 billion in opioid settlement payouts through 2040. I'm Dee Morrison.
DTE Energy is partnering with Holland-based LG Energy Solution Vertec to develop statewide energy storage systems. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us what that means for West Michigan.
Detroit-based DTE Energy is investing $6.1 billion in a new statewide battery energy storage system. LG Energy Solution Vertec will produce the batteries at its Holland facility. The batteries will then be distributed to 8 battery energy storage projects throughout Michigan. The projects will deliver 1.5 gigawatts or 6 gigawatt hours of battery storage, storing energy during times of excess use and utilizing that storage as needed. According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, 1.5 gigawatts is roughly the combined peak electrical output of 1.5 large nuclear reactors, providing enough electricity to continuously power 1.1 million average American homes. Officials say the storage systems will reduce power grid strain, help the state meet its clean energy goals, and create an estimated $2.3 billion in economic impact. The projects will support 1,800 hourly and salaried jobs at LG Energy Solutions plant in Holland, and over 350 construction and operation jobs. The storage systems are expected to be completed within 2 years. I'm David Limbaugh.
A rabies-positive bat has been confirmed in Kent County, and now the health department is urging residents to take precautions. WGVU's Jennifer Moss reports.
Rabies is a deadly but preventable disease that can spread to people and pets through the bite or scratch of an infected animal. And with the discovery of a rabies-positive bat, the Kent County Health Department and Kent County Animal Shelter are now urging residents to take precautions. This is the county's first rabies-positive animal of the year, and because bats can enter homes undetected, it's important for residents to understand the risk and take appropriate precautions. Kathy Armstrong, Communicable Disease Program Supervisor, says in a news release, quote, "If it's unclear whether a person or pet may have had direct contact with a bat, testing the bat is the best way to rule out any risk of rabies exposure," end quote. If a bat enters a home, experts advise Kent County residents take the following steps. Safely capture the bat for potential testing and call the Kent County Health Department for a risk assessment. They may advise bringing the bat in for testing. For more information about rabies and how to protect your family and pets, visit the state's website at michigan.gov/emergingdiseases. I'm Jennifer Moss.
The Grand Rapids Art Museum opens its newest exhibition this weekend, Decadent Spirit, French Art at the Turn of the Century. WGVU's Dee Morrison got a preview.
Picture Moulin Rouge cabaret, can-can dancers, and Art Nouveau posters. 130 works from the Belle Époque, an era of bohemian culture and artistic innovation.
This was an incredibly fertile moment for art making.
GRAM Associate Curator Tara Warren says 1880 to 1910 was a time of immense optimism just before World War I.
This exhibition really tries to show the really vibrant, diverse reality of Paris at this time, where so many different kinds of voices were heard. In particular, the women who were depicted were not just a muse, they were not just the subject of the image, but they were all artists in their own right.
The exhibition features paintings, sculpture, furniture, and film from icons like Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec and Alice Guy Blaget.
This was also also a time of society figuring out what it wanted to be. There were a lot of national conversations between the people on the right and the people on the left.
Warren imagines the era's creative energy may influence modern visitors.
I hope that people leave inspired to make our own time as vibrant.
Decadent Spirit opens May 29th through September 6th at the Grand Rapids Art Museum. I'm Dee Morrison.
An affordable senior assisted living center celebrated its grand opening on Wednesday in Grand Rapids Southeast Side. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us more about Motown Square.
Our hope with this development is to be able to allow our seniors within the neighborhood to age in place with dignity, to be able to stay within the communities in which they have lived for many, many years.
Lakia Jenkins is executive director of Link Up, the Grand Rapids-based housing nonprofit that helped bring the project to fruition, along with over a dozen state and local agencies and families. The $18 million four-story development features 54 one-bedroom assisted living units for seniors ages 55 and older. All units are affordable to households earning 60% of area median income, with 12 units available for seniors experiencing homelessness. 25 units cap rent at one-third of residents' income.
Getting affordable, quality housing is a priority for Link Up, and so it was important as we continue to expand our portfolio and continue to add affordable housing to the community that we focused on, again, our seniors.
Grand Rapids has one of the highest concentrations of retirement communities in the Midwest, with wait lists for affordable senior assisted living stretching up to 5 years, and average rates easily costing between $4,000 to $5,500 per month.
This is really fulfilling a great need, just given the growth and the changes that are happening at our city.
Motown Square is currently at 60% occupancy. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin looks at how Blue Care Network is participating in National Physical Fitness and Sports Month. But first, news from around the state. A ballot initiative to ban Michigan's public utilities and large government contractors from political giving dropped off signatures on Wednesday to go before voters this November. Colin Jackson has more.
Supporters of the Michiganders for Money Out of Politics campaign say utilities and contractors have used political donations to buy influence. Sean McBrady with the campaign says it's ready to take on any opposition from business groups.
The power of organized people can and will overcome the power of organized money.
Opponents of the measure, however, argue it goes too far to stifle free speech, especially in the wake of the 2010 U.S. Supreme Court decision defending corporations' right to donate to political causes. Wendy Black is with the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Citizen United ruling really cannot be undone by state law.
The campaign says its measure is written to stand up to a court challenge should one come. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
A University of Michigan survey finds that Americans' economic outlook has never been worse in the seven-decade history of the research. The Consumer Sentiment Index from the U of M surveys of consumers dipped to a record low this month. Consumer sentiment measures how people feel about their personal finances and the broader economy. The U.S. military campaign in Iran has caused supply disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz. The strait is vital for oil and natural gas shipping. Survey director Joanne Hsu says nearly 40% of people interviewed for the survey mentioned gas prices when asked about their personal finances.
What happens in the Middle East will really primarily move the needle on consumers' feel about the economy via its effect on gas prices.
The state of Michigan ranked among the 10 states with the most expensive gas last week, according to AAA. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. May is National Physical Fitness and Sports Month, and WGVU's Shelley Irwin talked with Blue Care Network's Dr. Peter Graham about assessing current fitness levels plus the power of low-impact exercise.
This is National Physical Fitness and Sports Month. All throughout May, an important conversation we are to have with my next guest, Dr. Peter Graham, Associate Chief Medical Officer, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, of course, Clinical Director, Blue Care Network, work to talk about, well, why we should perhaps get fit or stay fit or get better, bigger and better. Where are we going with this? Dr. Graham, good morning.
Good morning.
I guess maybe even just move more. How do you react to a National Physical Fitness and Sports Month, Dr. Graham?
Well, I think it's a fantastic idea. Those of us who do primary care would kind of contend that every month ought to be physical fitness and activity month, but that's okay. We'll take the month of May.
Yes, you bet. Key to this is reminding us of the body's capability and need to what? Shift over time and move?
Yes, on both. And as most of us are, or a lot of us, I should say, are discovering after a three-day weekend, you know, finding muscle groups we forgot we had or didn't know in the first place. The things you used to do when you're in your 20s, not necessarily doable when you kind of get up towards 50, 60s. And as somebody who's scraping 60 myself, I get it. You need to adjust how you approach exercise and activity, not stop, but adjust.
Thank you. So here we are talking about a National Physical Fitness and Sports Month, which should be had by all. Talk to me about how we best assess, say, a current fitness level.
Yeah, a couple things. And I'd start pretty much any conversation about an exercise program or plans to engage in sustained exercise, a conversation with your primary doctor is a good place to start. Because some of us do have, particularly as we get in our 50s, 60s, and beyond, we have chronic conditions that sometimes affect how you would exercise. Not say that you'd have to stop, but the kinds of things that you would want to do or the kinds of things that you're able to comfortably do might be different, and particularly if you have any risk factors like cardiovascular risk factors. The other thing is just to be cognizant of your own preferences and limitations. Not all of us are born to be runners. Not all of us are born to be weightlifters. Not all of us are born to be swimmers. But some of us are comfortably in all three of those. And a whole bunch of other things you can do, like biking and hiking and kayaking and all those good things. So figuring out what works for you is another important part of it. Risk reduction is the first part of it, though. Make sure you don't have any underlying either cardiac or pulmonary risk, which are the things we're most concerned about.
Dr. Graham, would you talk about the power of low-impact exercise?
Absolutely. And, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, the CDC currently recommends that we all get about, those of us over 65, that it's get about 150 minutes of aerobic activity of moderate intensity per week. And, that A looks daunting and B, a little bit of a head scratcher. What do we mean by moderate? Well, first part I'd unpack is, 150 minutes a week is a little over 20 minutes a day. That's actually pretty doable in pieces. Moderate generally means getting up to your target heart rate, staying slightly above that. In addition to that, they also recommend strengthening muscle groups, so something like resistance training work and balance, which I think are important things to look at. So when we talk about all of this to frame up what we mean by intensity, impact is a different access from that. And a lot of folks, particularly over 65, one of the common issues you run into is joint pain. Hips, knees, ankles, they've just had lifetime wear, and some of us are carrying a little bit extra weight as we get into those years, and that contributes to it as well. So the idea is exercises where you're not jumping, landing kind of with all of your body weight on one foot. So if you think about running, for example, I know a lot of people run and run very happily, but every time you launch, you're coming down on one foot, your whole body weight comes down that. Moderate impact is trying to lessen that. Basically, rule of thumb is keeping one foot on the ground. Brisk walking, biking, swimming, things where you're not impacting those joints like that. You can have a pretty high intensity workout, but without the impact to your musculoskeletal system. So long-winded way of explaining that's what low impact is really all about.
That's important to go through the details. Dr. Peter Graham with us on behalf of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network. Many have issues just staying motivated, Dr. Graham. What's the secret to this?
I would say really two things. One, figure out what it is you really like to do. We live in an era where, the internet is screaming at you and, you're getting texts from friends that you must do exercise X. The best exercise you can do is the one you will actually do and enjoy and sustain. So figure out what it is you really like doing. If it's kayaking, if it's biking, if it's swimming, hiking, this is the time of year in Michigan when it's lovely to be outdoors. It won't be like this in January, so enjoy it while it's like it. And second of all, I think most people are kind of broadly in two kind of camps on this. Finding things that you can do with other people, if you're somebody who likes doing things like that, oftentimes is one of the best ways to sustain an exercise program. There's some people who are very social about that. You know, walking groups, a Tai Chi class, you know, go learn how to kayak if you haven't done that, or rowing or bicycling or something like that. You know, it's a great way to get to meet and spend time with other people if you want to do that. If you're a solitary exerciser, which a lot of people are, that's fine. But, you know, kind of decide what you are in those and don't let anybody else tell you what you are. Do the one that you like, is comfortable for you, feels good, leaves you feeling accomplished, relaxed, energized when you're done. That's what you're more likely to actually sustain.
Thank you. Lastly, are there actual CDC guidelines for older adults when it comes to, well, if one's looking for the least amount of exercise to do or the most?
Yeah, some folks just want to kind of do whatever the minimum is that's on the syllabus, right? And that's fine. That's perfectly okay. Like I said, I'd aim for that 20 to 25 minutes a day. That's kind of the easiest rule of thumb. Most of us don't think in terms of exercise per week. We tend to think more readily per day. And trying to get close to your target heart rate. And that target heart rate, by the way, varies, but you can find a lot of really good calculators for that, you know, based on your age, based on your level of cardiovascular fitness. And trying to get up close to your target heart rate. A good rule of thumb for that is basically trying to get where you're feeling just kind of on the edge of being a little out of breath and maybe breaking a little bit of a sweat. That's when you're in that kind of prime aerobic zone. Last but not least, and this is relatively new for folks over 65, working on balance, gait and balance, it's really important. And walking is probably one of the best ways to do that, believe it or not. But as we get older, muscle strength begins to wane, particularly in parts of our hips and lower legs and back. Our inner ear is a little less acute than it used to be. So activities that kind of help you with that long term, that helps prevent both falls and injuries from falls should they occur. So working on balance training, in addition to strength training, as I mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of folks don't readily do that. And it doesn't have to be going to the gym, you know, 5 days a week. You can do that at home. So those are the things that are currently in the CDC recommendations. Just think that 20 minutes a day, balance, and some kind of resistance training.
Where do I go for more information on this conversation, Dr. Graham?
Best place to go is ahealthiermichigan, all one word, .org. It's got all sorts of great information, unpacks a lot of what I just went through, and including some of the calculators and things that can help you refine your own exercise program.
Wonderful. Keep practicing what you preach, vice versa here, and we'll talk again next year when it's National Fitness, Physical Fitness and Sports Month. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, May 28, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.